miss that countdown on my earpiece. I really do. From Eric the Tech. Well, he's not here. He's got the next two nights off. So I guess this is the right time. I just trying to time this right. Anyway, folks, our guest tonight, L.A. Marzulli, LAMarzulli.net. And I'm going to tell you right now, yeah, grab his latest DVD. Grab all of his DVDs, but latest DVD. And Anthony Patch from AnthonyPatch.com. Read that book. Read his book, Revising Reality. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you want to know what's going on, if you don't want to know what's going on, if you want to suffer from rectal cranial inversion, it's up to you. It doesn't matter. Before we get back to, it does matter. I'm reminded of a Seinfeld episode. I'm not going to get into it. Where, well, George says, "You want to buy a computer?" You know, he's trying to sell computers. Anyway, but seriously, very well investment, a good investment for both the book and the DVD. LAMarzulli.net. AnthonyPatch.com. Before you get back to our guests, of course, TradingPostInTheWoods.com. You know, our sponsors fuel the show for the most part. Now, we rely on listener support as well. Our expenses are tremendous to this operation because we're in 100 and a bunch of countries. I don't know. And satellite as well as BTR and YouTube. And, you know, we employ a full-time technician, engineer, and producer as well. Trying to keep afloat. So thank you for your support, but also TradingPostInTheWoods.com. TradingPostInTheWoods.com. Support them as our sponsor. They have what you need during times of trouble and even times, good times. It's an American family-owned operating company formed from their skills and their knowledge gained from responding to numerous disasters, both in the United States and around the world. And they've got some great products at TradingPostInTheWoods.com. I'm not going to get into them all. Just to say, the American Heritage Remedies Kit is my favorite. If you have to pick anything, grab that. That's American Heritage Remedies Kit. They made that especially for our show, TradingPostInTheWoods.com. That is TradingPostInTheWoods.com.
Our guests this hour are Anthony Patch from AnthonyPatch.com and L.A. Marzulli from LAMarzulli.net. Just before the break, L.A., you were telling us a story about a close encounter.
Well, yeah, I mean, this pilot, again, he's a trained observer, and he's out flying about 31,000 feet above cloud, quarter moon, and this craft comes in on the plane at excess of 30,000 miles an hour. And when it left, there was no centrifugal force. I mean, we're looking at that whatever this stuff is, whatever it is, whatever we're looking at, it defies our physics, completely defies the laws of physics as we know them. And, of course, I believe that these are interdimensional. I believe they may be used by the fallen one to flip between the second heaven and this heaven, this, you know, earth. It's just, I don't have all the answers, nor does anyone else on the planet, not all the answers. We all get a piece of the puzzle. All I know is that the cat and mouse game, which has been going on literally for decades, seems to be accelerating. What I mean by that, UFO sightings, Drudge Report had a thing, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago? UFO sightings at an all-time high? I mean, it's there if we want to look at it. And I call news stories like that soft disclosure. That's what they are. And they see if anyone is paying attention. For the most part, masses don't care. For the most part, Americans, including the church, are ambivalent. Oh, well, it doesn't really matter. So at the close of the movie, my new independent film, The Watchmen Chronicles, in their own words, UFOs are real. I look at the camera and I say, so what are we supposed to do with this? Forget about it, ignore it, throw it under the rug, pretend it doesn't exist. But the bottom line for me is, what happens when it shows up in your living room? Outside your house, what are you going to do with it? What happens when it, you know, you get the encounter? Now what? You know, and Anthony's talking about, we were talking about spiritual warfare. When people say to me, well, what do I do if I see something? Rebuke first, ask questions later. Rebuke first, in the name of Jesus, talk about it and ask questions about it later. I'll give you an example. In the film, and you can go to the Watchmen Chronicles and watch the clip yourself, thewatchmenchronicles.com, and watch it for yourself. There's a man, his name is Al, who comes on the record. He's driving through Kansas. It's very flat. And it's probably like 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever, but it's late at night and they're driving and they're driving and driving. And in the distance, there's an orange ball. It's like the sun, but it's not the sun. It's not emanating light, but it's lit up. And it's sort of an orange ball, and it's just sitting there, and they're watching this thing and watching it and watching it and watching it. No one's saying anything. He's driving. His brother's girlfriend is in the passenger seat. His brother is asleep in the back seat. And before they know it, this thing comes hurtling at them, like in like several seconds. It's from way in the distance, and now it's pacing the driver's side of the car, and they're doing like 65 miles an hour, maybe faster. And this thing's like right there. They all turn. The brother wakes up. Hello, think about that. The brother's asleep, and now he wakes up. They're all looking at it, and no one says a word. Nobody says anything. It paces the car for 15 seconds and then leaves the scene in the way it came. You know what Al says? We didn't talk about the orb. We just concentrated on driving. It's like, what? You realize how crazy that is. And this is the thing, folks. If you see anything, rebuke first. Don't entertain it. Don't stare at it like these guys did. Don't entertain it. Don't stare at it. Don't give it anything. Rebuke first in the name of Jesus and pray to the Father. I had an email today from some woman that heard me talk about this. And there was something outside, a light in the sky, and it was coming closer. And she became fearful, and she immediately rebuked it in the name of Jesus, and the thing just vanished. Just vanished. We've got more reports on that, because what I'm trying to do is open up the gateways here. And if you've got a story, if you've got pictures, if you're bold enough to come onto a Skype interview, email me, la@lamarzulli.net, la@lamarzulli.net, and put in the subject line UFO encounter. Pictures, video, that's all good. We're trying to get as many Skype interviews as we possibly can, because when we can take the Skype, we can censor you, we can censor your voice, censor your face, we can do all sorts of things. And then put it up on our YouTube channel. Why? We're trying to get the word out. This is, in my opinion, the coming great deception. The Bible speaks of deception. Jesus says, let no man deceive you. Many will come in my name and say, I am the Christ. Okay, I get that. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive. That's the most sobering statement in the entire biblical prophetic narrative. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive. That's a real happy thought. Paul, Satan comes with all signs and lying wonders because they did not believe the truth. God himself sends them strong delusion. And this is in the 2 Thessalonians chapter where Paul is telling us about the coming of the son of perdition, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, and the rapture, and our gathering to him. I mean, that's what he's talking about in that passage. I mean, it's very, very intense. God says I'm strong illusion because they do not believe the truth. What is the truth? I'll tell you what the truth is. And a little sidebar here. When I was 5 years old. True story. 5 years old. Big Italian family. So we all go to Mass. I was a Catholic. Come back. Sometimes there's a priest there. Big, big table. All the relatives are seated around the table. The aunts, the uncles, my grandfather, the kids, the whole deal. All my cousins. And, you know, the kids ate on car tables in other rooms and stuff. But the grown-ups were there. I'm about 5, 6 years old. I can't read or write at this time. Probably about 5 years old because my grandfather's still alive. And I take his hassock and drag the hassock out near the table. There was like, when you walk into the house, there was a vestibule, then there was a large hallway type deal, a proper foyer, and then to the right of the foyer was a proper dining room, and to the left was a formal living room. So I'm in the foyer, and I grab the hassock from the living room and put it in the foyer, and I grab the family Bible, which nobody ever read, and put it on the hassock, and I start preaching at 5 years old. And you know what I said? I said, what is the truth? What is the truth? 5-year-old kid, what is the truth? And they were laughing hysterically. They couldn't believe it. Where did this come from? Why is he doing this? And the more they laughed, the more serious I got. And I vetted this with not only my mom and dad, but my aunts and uncles. And I brought it up. The moment I brought it up, they all started laughing. And they said, yeah, that's what you did. What is the truth? So getting back to the scripture, God sends them strong delusion because they did not believe the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is simply this. that all things were created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was with God from the beginning. All things were created through Him, and without Him, nothing that was made, period. All things were made through Jesus. What is the lie? What is the strong delusion? Well, the springboards of a strong delusion, the springboard, is the Darwinian paradigm. And I talk about all this in the film, In Their Own Words, UFOs Are Real. The springboard to this is the Darwinian paradigm, which says that we just evolved from nothing. Just by random chance, all this happened. But guess what, folks? The neo-Darwinists are looking at this and going, well, I'm not really buying the whole Darwinian theory. That's why they're neo-Darwinists. And they're saying that the DNA, the deoxyribonucleic double helix of life, the spiral of life, the building blocks of all life on this planet, it was created elsewhere by a race of advanced extraterrestrials and then seeded here. I'm not making this stuff up. I wish I was. That's what they're looking at. That's what they're hanging their hats on, because they can't have a God of the Bible as a creator. So they'll have this alien, mysterious alien entity. The coming great deception, and it's coming, will be when they reveal themselves, when a ship finally uncloaks and just sits there in the sky for who knows how long. And if that happens, folks, mark my words, everything changes. Everything changes overnight. It's ET, ET, ET 24/7. That's all everyone and everyone will be talking about. They will tell us that they created all life on this planet, that they seeded life here, they started the world's earliest religions and civilizations, and now at this critical juncture, and what could be more critical than where we are, days of chaos, they, ET, have come back to usher mankind into a time of peace, prosperity, and knowledge. That's what they're going to say. This is the coming great deception. There's a book out now by a secular guy who has flipped my statement, the coming great deception. And he's taken that and tried to say that the Bible is the deception, and that the church is the deception by talking about ET, because the clouds in the Bible are all UFOs. In other words, the pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, the cloud that leads the Israelites, that's a UFO. Jesus, miracles, all done by UFOs. Barry Downey Jr. also believes in this. So, I mean, it's just unbelievable to how things flip the twist.
Let me ask you a question, if I can. And I'm being really serious about this, all right? If they are the deception, if these beings are the deception, and I'm being real serious when I ask you this, can we kill them? I mean, or maybe a better question would be, how do you fight that?
You fight back through spiritual warfare. You fight back with the name of Jesus. Remember, when he rides in on the white horse, he destroys the armies on earth, Satan's armies, with the breath of his mouth. Something like a sword comes out. That's pure energy. That's what he does. I think maybe we do cleanup operations. I have no idea. But the armies of heaven come riding in. It's Yeshua. It's Jesus who does, you know, out of his mouth comes a double-edged sword, a flaming sword. I mean, that's what's going to happen. Read Revelation 19. We can't kill them because they're eternal beings. Can't kill them. All we can do is engage them and command them in the name of Jesus to leave, to be silent, to move away, to stop. That's the only thing we got. And I got to tell you something, folks. When they show up, the first thing that happens is your brain fogs. You can't think clearly. If you've ever been around someone who's demonically possessed, you never lay hands on them. That's the first thing you never do. You don't do any of that stuff, and you always keep your eyes open. That's the second thing that you do. But, you know, you lay hands on only if they want the entity out of them. And then at that point, you know, you're commanding and but you just don't walk up and lay hands on them. I've been around demonically possessed people, and I wasn't prayed up. This is years ago, and I couldn't remember my own name. I mean, you want to talk about brain fog. It's look, these entities are really powerful. And this is why Paul admonishes us in Ephesians 6 to put on the whole armor of God. And when you think about it, what is the armor of God? The helmet of salvation. Well, what is the helmet of salvation? Who is our salvation? Jesus. The breastplate of righteousness. What righteousness do we stand in? Certainly not my own. Certainly not your own. His righteousness. Jesus' righteousness. When we put on the belt of truth, who is the truth, the life, and the way? Jesus. When we put on the shoes that wherever we go, we bring the good news, who is that? Where's that good news? I mean, the peace that comes from that. Wherever we go, who is our shalom? Who is our peace? Jesus. We take the shield of faith. Who is the author and the finisher of our faith? Jesus. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God from the beginning. I mean, there you go. People can tap dance around that all they want. But that's how we fight them. We put on the armor of God, and I just told you how to do that. We're putting on Jesus. We take every thought captive, every thought accountable, and if there's something that we see, we rebuke first, ask questions later. I can't stress that enough. In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. That's what you say. In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. Real simple, real straight ahead. Because most of the time you can't remember your own name. So if you can remember that, you're doing really good. And in the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. Because remember, when the angel disputed with Moses' body, what did he say? The Lord rebuke you. See, the Lord rebuke you. Because he knows he's got nothing. He's got nothing. Not in that type of an engagement. He's got nothing. And how do they fight? They can't be killed, but they can be stopped. They can be stopped. And that's where a power that's greater than us, much greater than us, comes in. It's kind of almost like Frodo in the Lord of the Rings. You know, I realize, oh my gosh, now he's talking about the Lord of the Rings. Oh, take a deep breath. But the bottom line is, you know, Frodo, just this little unassuming hobbit, and he brings down evil. I mean, he brings down the House of Mordor. He undoes it by throwing the ring. And now that's perhaps a bad analogy, but the bottom line is we have the power through him, through Yeshua, through Jesus. And never forget that. We have the authority as believers. Walk in that authority. We have the authority when an unwanted thought comes into our mind to say, no, I don't want that. And if it comes in again 5 seconds later, we say, no, I don't want that. And if it comes in 2 minutes later, no, I don't want that. By the blood of a lamb, leave. In the name of Jesus, leave. Be gone. Because unwanted thoughts are going to come constantly. That's what the enemy does. Anytime we're fearful, we know who the author of fear is. That's the currency of the kingdom of darkness. Fear is their currency. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the Most High God. So we're going to either walk in fear or faith. You know? I'll give you a little story. And you say, well, this isn't really spiritual warfare. Sure it is. We were audited by the IRS under the Obama administration for 2013, 14, and 15, 3 years in a row. They said we owed $150,000 in back taxes. How are we going to ever pay that? Seriously. How are we ever going to pay it? That's declare bankruptcy and move to Nicaragua. I mean, what can I tell you? Just joking here. But we prayed. Father, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Change the paperwork, Lord. Change the paperwork. And we prayed constantly. And this is 2014 we were audited. So that's 3 years ago, okay? Almost, it'll be 4 years this April. 4 years this April. So we finally settled with them. And our accountant, isn't it interesting? The original IRS agent who was assigned to us was on a maternity leave. And we felt that she was being completely unfair. She wasn't allowing deductions, and they threw the book at us. Well, she let one on leave. They gave us another agent. And, you know, it's not like we're hiding anything. We're not. So we still owe money. I get that. But basically, he knocked it down about $110,000, $120,000, roughly. That's what he knocked down. And he did it not illegally, not by, you know, pulling rabbits out of his hat. He said, look at this. Look at this expense. He had everything was... So, in other words, the charges against us were false. And we prayed, and I feel that we got the victory. I really do. And I feel that, okay, we owe money to the IRS, but it's not $150,000 for crying out loud. It's manageable. I could put it on a payment program. As long as I keep up, you know, I can pay it down. So and this isn't a hard luck story, this is spiritual warfare. Because the enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy. If he can shut me down any way he possibly can, then I lose my voice, don't I? Not literally, but figuratively.
Folks, the first half hour, that's exactly what we're talking about. In L.A., thank you for sharing that, because that's exactly what's happening to countless others out there. That's one of many things. And thank you for sharing that.
And that's what the enemy wants to do. Shut us all down. Shut the thing down. You know something, folks? How many people out there are talking about Jesus seriously in a way like we're talking about him tonight, that are expectant, that long to see his return? Because we're not going to fix this mess. You're not going to fix the ideology of a mullah in Iran. Ain't going to happen. You're not going to fix the ideology of ISIS or you know, Muslims who believe they have to kill as many infidels as they possibly can, or blow themselves up, or the Shia who hate the Sunni and the Sunni Muslims who hate the Shia branch of Islam. Ain't going to change the ideology. It's never going to happen. It's not going to happen. The only way it's going to happen is when the king returns. Oh, is it going to change? Everything changes when his feet touch the Mount of Olives. And you know what? You're going to have millions and millions and millions of people on this planet who won't have a clue as to what just happened. What just happened? What, you know, what's going on here? And I don't know how much technology goes into the kingdom, but I will say this. I believe in the White Horse Police Force, because the kingdom of heaven rides in to the Battle of Armageddon with Jesus on white horses. Read Revelation 19. It's not figurative. It's not an allegory. It's not some literary device. It's literal. We come in riding on flying white horses. I can't wait for mine. So if you don't want yours, don't worry about it. Somebody else will take it. I can't wait to meet mine. And somehow I think we can communicate with these things. I can just hear the call. Marzulli's, no, he's talking about flying white horses. He's completely gone off the deep end. Everyone knows the book of Revelation is nothing but allegory. So, I mean, it's just like, what do you do? Don't believe it, folks. I don't care. But there it is in Revelation 19. The armies of heaven dressed in clean, white, fresh, new white linens. I'm paraphrasing. White linen clothing followed him. Jesus, the rider on the white horse, and we follow him. We were riding him to the Battle of Armageddon, and I was there for 3 seconds 36 years ago, taken, as Paul says, in the body or out of the body. I've only had two such experiences like this in 36 years, and I didn't know where I was. I was in the back of a white horse. We were flying through the air. The armies of heaven were in the shape of a horseshoe and stacked one on top of another, like a 30-story building or a 50-story building. I have no idea how many stories there were, but we were stacked and we were in the shape of a horseshoe, and the horses were staggered, and every eye could see the rider on the white horse who was in the center of the horseshoe out in front and riding, and we're going down. And I'm on the top right flank, not the very top flank, but up towards the top tier, about 8 rows back from the front. I know where I was. And the horses are all staggered. Don't ask me how that works, so that every eye can see them. There was no bridle, no bridle and no saddle. I was holding on to his mane. I was there 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3, and I'm back. And the next day I had a counseling with my pastor, and I said, I had this vision. I didn't even know what a vision was. I said, I was awake, but I wasn't here. And he's looking at me, and I tell him a story, and he goes, well, have you ever read this? And he goes, from Revelation 19, and I dropped the book. I said, oh my gosh, that sounds like what I just saw. So I'm a biblical literalist, and that's my hope. You know, my hope is this and nothing less than Jesus Christ in righteousness.
Amen. We got about 2.5 minutes before the break. Mr. Patrick, why don't you, if we can get into, in this next 2 minutes, if we can get into some of the technological aspects of what's going on with the biblical realm and the world of technology converging, and then we'll pick it right up in the next segment.
Okay, sounds good. L.A., how long are you going to be with us?
I got to leave about 5 minutes to six my time. Because I have my own show coming right after that.
Okay, very good. No, I didn't want to put L.A. on the spot when I was mentioning physics and UFOs. It's just I wanted to add to the conversation a little bit about it, because it's not something that I have really focused on. And L.A. and I met each other for the first time in Nashville, and we had a great opportunity to record a conversation there. And he had asked me about that, and I said, what I just stated, I haven't done a lot of, you know, research into it. But since then, I've given it some thought as to the propulsion systems. And so I'm just very quickly going to throw out that it's related to the awake linear accelerator at CERN.
Wow.
That is a 30-meter-long linear accelerator that operates on the basis of the acceleration of plasma in the form of waves, literally waves you would find on the ocean. And I believe that that is what Joe was describing and the pilot was describing in your latest YouTube video regarding the cylinders of light in opposing directions from the craft. And that's where I kind of put those two things together. And before you have to leave tonight, I'm just going to throw that to you so you can chew on it a little bit. But I've also looked at the work into anti-gravity of the father of the hydrogen bomb, Dr. Edward Teller, who spent his last years at Stanford. And his work in anti-gravity, and obviously Stan Deo has gone into extensive research and discussed it on the Hagman Show and other times as well. And anti-gravity does factor into this, but you do need to put a little more finer point to what that means. And in my estimation, it goes back to CERN again. I'm giving you examples using CERN because CERN in the ring-based accelerator is a synchrotron accelerator. And a synchrotron accelerator produces at right angles to the circle, to the main ring, orthogonal, it's called.
Anthony, I mean to interrupt you, but we are right at the break. We're going to pick up right here where we left off. Folks, you're listening to this edition of the Hagman Report with Anthony Patch from anthonypatch.com and L.A. Marzulli from lamarzulli.net. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is, it'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.changewiththewoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Welcome back, ladies, and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Two guests, L.A. Marzulli, lamarzulli.net, Anthony Patch, anthonypatch.com. In the program description on our homepage, hagmanreport.com, look for the old-time radio. There you'll find a library of links to our guests. John spends a lot of time on this, and I want to thank John Robertson, our program director, for arranging all of this. Thank you so much. First time, I think, together on a radio program, I believe, at least to my knowledge, Anthony Patch and L.A. Marzulli. I know that the at the back end of the break there, we were talking with, or Anthony was talking and comparing, well, referencing what L.A. Marzulli was previously describing in a YouTube video. Mr. Patch, I'm just going to turn it back to you.
No, thank you. I won't get too deep into it because I want L.A. to have his opportunity to speak. I've got plenty of time later, but just to toss it out there, the ring-based accelerator produces at right angles what is known as synchrotron energies, but more specifically, it produces magnetic lines of force. In a nutshell, what I believe is the reason that these UFOs predominantly are shaped as, quote, a flying saucer, as they're described, is because they have two things going on. One is a ring-based synchrotron particle accelerator, thus forming the circular shape, and the propulsion is provided in a linear fashion, like I described, with the awake plasma wake field accelerator, combining the two as a propulsion and levitation, if you will, or anti-gravity system used together. Those two systems are conjoined presently 300 feet underground at CERN. I'll let you take it from there, L.A.
Wow. You know, this gets into, and where's Steve Quayle when you need him? But let me cough here with my mic. You know, the bottom line is this. The Nazis were messing with stuff in World War II. We know that. The whole idea of, and I know Steve's been banging this drum for a while, Empire Beneath the Ice, and which I'm almost finished reading, and it's a great book, folks. Little plug for Steve there. But something is going on here. I'm also reading a book, which, and I'll get to my point in a second. Thanks, Anthony, for, I wish we had more time together. Good grief. But I'm reading a book about Martin Bormann. Bormann was basically Hitler's right-hand man, and many people believe that he escaped the hangman's noose. He did not die in Berlin, and he escaped to South America, Argentina. Surprise, surprise. That really doesn't surprise me. I've always believed Hitler was alive and escaped also. Well, Bormann seems to have done that. But all that to say this, that the Nazis, and this is apocryphal, when apparently they asked von Braun, where did you guys get this technology for the V2? Remember, this technology was far in advance of anything that the Allies had. I mean, granted, we had the bomb. I get that. But the V2 rocket, that was unbelievable. The buzz bomb, as they used to call it. And, I mean, where did that technology come from? And von Braun, and again, you know, there's no way to track this. It's a colorful, tidbit of information, anecdotal at best, perhaps. But according to the story, he pointed to the sky and said we had help from them. And then there's the stories of Germany's Roswell crash, which happened in the 30s in the Black Forest. Look, folks, Russ Dizdar did this. He went to Wedelsburg Castle, and this was the occult center of the entire Nazi operation, where deep dark rituals were being conducted. And it's also these the castle of Adelsberg is constructed on a very ancient, what we believe is an ancient Nephilim graveyard. They call them Neanderthal skulls, but I don't believe they are Neanderthal. I believe they're something else. I believe that they're perhaps some sort of Nephilim, but that's, I digress. The bottom line is these guys were bringing in and channeling information. We know that. I mean, the Thule Society, the two women psychics who were channeling information, they believe that their long hair, they had hair that went almost down to the floor, acted as a conduit for these entities. So this was going on in the 30s. This kind of stuff was going on in the 30s. They are, and I know Anthony will back me up on this, CERN is, I believe, attempting to open up some sort of dimensional gate, a dimensional portal. They are attempting to communicate with entities from whatever dimension. I think they know it. I really do. I think they know it, and that's why they're spending. I mean, this machine, which is the largest, most complex machine ever built on this planet, has cost billions and billions of dollars. And for what? Why are they doing this? Who's financing it? What's really the modus operandi behind this whole thing? And I'll let Anthony pick that up because that's his expertise.
Yeah, there's over $4 billion already expended on this extension or reconfiguration of the Tower of Babel. And it's really the same agenda, and that is to breach the veil. And by Sergio Bertolini's own statement from CERN, this goes back about 5 years, they said they want to open an interdimensional doorway, as he described it. And they said, we're going to send something through, but we're not sure what's going to come back towards us. And even Hawking, Dr. Stephen Hawking, has said, you don't want to open that portal. It didn't go well for the Native Americans, I'm paraphrasing, when a doorway was opened here in the United States when, our first, let's say, Columbus, who knows, landed on these shores. But it's the same sort of thing playing out here. Mm. Look, it's a spiritual battle. We know that. It's spiritual communication. You've heard me talk about D-Wave and their quantum computers. Well, those are just machines that are using Enochian mathematics, the language of the angels, in communicating and obtaining information, by their own statements, obtaining information from literally thousands of parallel dimensions. So the Nazis did it on a smaller scale with the Viril Society, etc., with their occult practices, but let's call that nursery school compared to what they're doing with quantum computers today in obtaining that forbidden knowledge, and I'll let you take it from there.
Well, look, I mean, they are opening up, and interesting, this just ties right in with the biblical prophetic narrative. It'll be like the days of Noah. Jesus warns us the days of Noah. There was a radio show I was co-hosting with Bonnie Harvey on Hebrew Nations Radio. We did it for about 2 years. She has some cancer in the family, not her, but her daughter, and keep her in her prayers because we no longer can do the radio show. She's got her hands full. Her daughter has two small children, and so it's a whole, it's just, the show has been derailed, for lack of a better word. So there's another, like we were talking about before the break, there's another little tactic of the enemy. I'm not saying it necessarily was from the enemy. Isn't that a coincidence? We've been on for about 2 years, and it's called the Days of Noah. And we talk about all this. What most people don't understand, Noah was alive during the construction of Babel. Noah was alive. Noah was there. Noah saw all this before he finally was taken from this earth. So when Jesus warns us, it'll be like the days of Noah when the Son of Man returns, I'm paraphrasing here, this is the days of Noah. The Tower of Babel, which was constructed to bring in the fallen ones, to open up a dimensional doorway, a portal, a gateway, it's happening right now. You know, the days of Noah, where fallen angels mated with the women and creating a hybrid being known as the Nephilim. Is that happening? I mean, I've told this story before on this show. I'll say it again. Pastor Mike McClung is out doing a prayer walk. He texted me right after the encounter. He's doing a prayer walk on a beautiful June day 2 years ago now. It'll be 2 years this June. And he's out there praying for people in his congregation, praying for revival, all the stuff the pastors do. And in the distance, he sees a woman coming at him. She's got striking blondish, white, platinum blonde hair type of thing. She's very athletic and she's very tall. Okay, female basketball player, an athlete. So what, right? So he keeps looking at her, but he's troubled. He's in his spirit, he's not sure why. And as she comes running towards him, their eyes meet. She's got striking blue eyes. As she gets about 10 feet away, the eyes change and go black. At this point, Pastor Mike begins rebuking out loud and asking questions later. Smart guy. He's rebuking her in the name of Jesus out loud and stating unequivocally that no curse, no foul thing will fall upon me, my family, my people, you know, that whole deal. I mean, he's going through a litany because he's a warrior. And as she runs by, she bares her teeth and growls at him. Now that came across my iPhone 2 years ago. I did an interview with him, which was in PPS Report. And that's just one of several that we've had. Was she a hybrid? I don't know. Was she demonically possessed? Could be. Combination of the two? Sure. I don't know. More questions than answers. If she was a hybrid being, then what are we looking at? There's a man by the name of Al who comes on the record in my film, The Watchman Chronicles, in their own words. And he tells a story. And I've told this before, not here. I've told it at some conferences. But I'm not going to tell you the whole story. I'll wait till I come back on so I really can get into it, because, you know, we're losing time here and I've got to go at the top of the hour. But the bottom line is this woman shapeshifts right in front of his eyes, and her eyes go reptilian, which can only be described as he called it snake eyes. You know, the eyes changed color and shifted right in front of him. And he said, "What the heck was that?" As he pushed her off of him, and she gave out the most evil laugh imaginable, and he fled the scene. He ran and fled the scene, and I'll give you the punchline. That led to his conversion at some point. He wasn't a Christian at the time. And this particular incident, which we document in the film in their own words, led to Al's conversion. It's absolutely chilling. So is there a breeding program? I think there is. Do I have proof of that? No. Yes and no. We've got stories from people. They're first, they're not secondhand, they're firsthand stories. What Mike McClung saw, he saw. He wasn't telling me what his Uncle Joe saw. Same thing with Al, who comes on the record in the film in their own words. What he saw was real, not what, you know, his cousin Bernie saw, what he saw. And they come on the record and state this, and it's absolutely, in my opinion, unnerving. So when we talk about the days of Noah and chimeras, we've had reports, which I've never really gone public with, down in the Four Corners region, which are steeped in shamanism and skinwalkers and the whole deal. Nothing. That's been going on for thousands of years there. That hasn't changed. You know, there's churches there, but the natives just went underground. The shamans just went underground and hid from the white man as best they could and practiced their dark arts. Not all people down there believe in that, but I've talked to enough. I talked to a man, what's his last name? Jimmy, I'll think of it in a minute. Jimmy Etcity, who was studying to be a shaman. And, he left because in order to become a shaman, you have to kill a family member. That's what he had to do, and he didn't do it. And he became a Christian and then finally a Christian pastor. But he talked openly about what goes on in certain places on the reservations. Nothing has changed in thousands of years. Not all the people, obviously, are in tune with this. Many of them are spirit-filled, born-again Christians. I've been there, and I've seen it, so I know who these people are. And I know, you know, that there are great churches there throughout the area. But this one person called me, and she's an ambulance driver. He or she's an ambulance driver in the Four Corners region, and she picked up a husband and wife. The wife had a heart something wrong with her heart, and they're driving back to the hospital. The sirens are going, and the man looks at her and says, "We saw something really strange the other day." And she said, oh, what's that? I mean, out of the blue, this guy strikes up a conversation. And he goes, well, we came back to the house and we saw what we thought were horses, but from where the horses, they had the, from the waist up of a man, where the head of the horse should be, from the waist up, there was the waist of a man, you know, with the head of a man on the body of a horse. And there were three of them. And when they saw us, they galloped away. And we were just stunned. And they were talking in some unknown language. Now, what do you do with that? What do you do with stuff like that? I don't know. You tell it on Hagman and Hagman, right? The days of Noah. We know from the book of Enoch, pseudepigraphical book, not part of our canon, but quoted in at least 70 times in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, and quoted verbatim in the book of Jude, that the angels left their first estate and also defiled themselves with the animal kingdom. We know that. I mean, that's in the book of Enoch. So we can either dismiss that as something fanciful, or we can look into that. I believe the chimeras were real. I believe it all hinges into CERN, what's going on at CERN, what's going on in underground labs, the idea of singularity, where man and machine will merge. This is why we're in the end times, folks. This is why he's coming back. And if you don't think that we're on the precipice of a great deception, then you're not doing your homework. Because Drudge Report, what was it, just a couple of weeks ago, talked about UFO sightings at an all-time high.
L.A., if I may, real quickly, you asked me in Knoxville, is this necromancy? Is this communing with the dead and raising the dead? This is the resurrection of the dead using CERN and the quantum computers together.
Interesting. Very interesting. And, you know, I was just reading an article here. Ray Kurzweil talks about, and this article's on Drudge also from the Daily Mail, superhumans will arrive by 2029 as brains begin to fuse with machines. He says, Ray Kurzweil says that machines will make us smarter as we merge the carbon.
Don't forget the sexier part, too.
Yeah, I left that out. When the carbon merges with the silicone, he predicts that this will happen by 2029 on a massive scale. Says it's already happening now. He says when we live in a cybernetic society, we will have computers in our brains and machines will be smarter than human beings. He claims this is already happening, especially with our addiction to our phones, and says the next step is to wire the technology directly into our brains. And this guy works for Google's machine learning project. And what this is called is technological singularity. And again, by 2029, they say that this will happen. Singularity is when carbon and silicon-based intelligence will merge to form a single global consciousness. And, I mean, they're already rolling, you know, this type of technology out. And the spiritual implications for this type of technology is frightening.
Yeah, L.A., I know you've got a show at the top of the hour. If you want to apprise people of your show, where they can hear it, how they can hear it, because I know you've got to run. We want to be respectful of your time, and we know there's show prep involved.
Might have lost L.A.
We might have lost L.A.
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah.
But I mean, this. We've seen articles like this, and you know, the article, the increase of UFO sightings. I always wonder, you know, what is going on in the sky? Is it something in the heavens? Is it something man-made? Is it something spiritual? And what was interesting about the study that LA referenced is the fact that so many of the increased sightings were in the continental United States, and there were some countries that apparently didn't gather data, I believe like Russia, China, and a few other ones in the Middle East and, you know, South Africa and parts of Africa. But the majority were of the increases and the sightings were in the U.S. and Australia. Do we have the echo?
Okay, L.A., we want to be before you answer that or address that, Anthony, L.A., we know you got a show, your own show to do at the top of the hour, and we want to be respectful of your time. So if you just want to tell people how they can tune in, where to tune in, how to listen, just tell people about your show and your DVD, and we'll cut you loose so you can get ready, because I know it's a...
Look, guys, I really, really appreciate you having me on. It's always good to be here. And, Anthony, I just, you know, let's try to hook up. I'd love to get you on Skype on some of this stuff, because I think it's just, your perspective is just very timely and erudite, and it's just amazing. And Doug and Joe, thank you for what you're doing. And folks, you know, we need to keep praying for these watchmen. Everybody here on the show tonight, everybody that comes on, you know, Hagman and Hagman, I mean, we're blessed to have them, and you keep them in your prayers, because they're around in the front lines. But if you're interested in the movie, The Watchmen Chronicles, it's my first standalone film. It's about an hour and 37 minutes. Go to thewatchmenchronicles.com or lamarzulli.net, and you know, you can procure the DVD for $19.95. The second one is half price, $9.95, because we want to get the word out. Something is happening, folks, and you need to arm yourself and arm a loved one, especially as someone who's caught up in the ancient alien paradigm. Thanks for having me on, guys. Anthony, always good to hear your voice.
You too, my friend. God bless.
Thanks, Ellie. God bless you, brother.
LAMarzulli.net is his website. And thank you, LA. Well, we got about 5 minutes left in this segment. And
I'm still thinking of the centaur that, you know, seriously, man, I'm still trying to think of, you know, wrap my brain around that. What do you do with that? Exactly. And Anthony, I mean, you see something like that.
Yeah, that would be pretty tough to handle. I mean, you talk about revising reality. That would be a tough one. Even UFOs are tough enough, but to see a physical, you know, chimera or transhumanist,
yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, and who do you tell? Hey, honey, guess what I saw? Yeah, that's going to go over real well. But you know, we need to, I mean, we need to understand that, and as you point out, this stuff's real. I mean, it's, and I do believe in chimeras. I believe that testing is being done extensively, and I think this is where you come in. So we got about, as Joe said, we got about 4 minutes at the top, so.
Yeah, if I can, real quick while we're waiting for the break to come. Going back to this article that we were just talking about, the singularity will create superhumans. They call it singularity when nanomachines are inserted into the human body and merge with the brain, or computers merging with the brain. They say the process began centuries ago with simple devices as eyeglasses, ear trumpets that could dramatically improve human lives. Then came better machines. And the part about the eyeglasses, that reminds me of reading, I can't remember what it was I read, but it was about the Dark Ages in the church and the church's opposition to technology, and it was specifically related to eyeglasses. How many people thought eyeglasses, how you would look at, you know, a debit card today or the social security number, they thought that that was a, you know, some terrible invention and that it was demonic in nature. But I say that to say, you know, look where we are today. But they say that this can improve humans. That they did improve humans' lives, and then they said better machines such as hearing aids, pacemakers, dialysis machines, and now we're in the 21st century where organs are being grown in labs, genetic surgery, designer babies. In 2002, medical researchers used enzymes and DNA to build the first molecular computer. And in 2004, improved versions were being injected into people's veins to fight cancer. Ray Kurzweil says if this trend continues, he believes carbon and silicon-based intelligence will merge into a single global consciousness by 2029. And what's interesting about this is you have people in the technological realm who are experts in this stuff. What was it? Elon Musk? He's a founder of SpaceX. He came out and stated that artificial intelligence is the biggest existential threat to humanity. And he's actually putting some of his money to use to fight, to create areas. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he's
neural links
to fight. Okay, to fight the AI threat, to fight the threat of from humans that AI poses. But anything to this term, Anthony, the singularity term, does that?
That's the uploading of ourselves, our consciousness, and our memories, our thoughts into a computer. That's what they're talking about as far as singularity. Elon Musk was You need to be careful. He is pro-AI. What he is pushing right now is that he wants people to have literally injected, and I said this on our last show together, what's called a neural lace into the bloodstream, into an artery that would then physically attach to the neurons of the brain so that you would be connected to the AI. He claims that's the way to stay a step ahead and not become what he says rendered to the level of a house pet if you don't take the neural lace. So be careful with what Musk is pushing, because he's all about transhumanism.
Yeah, and I remember that you were mentioning that. You mentioned that the last time we were on, and I must not have read through that Elon Musk article properly, because I thought it was saying, I know he's a big proponent of artificial intelligence, but I thought they were saying that, you know, he kind of did a little reverse, saying people need to be careful. I didn't know, and I guess I wasn't paying attention, that he...
I'm here to help you, because I read their stuff all the time, as you know, so I get used to seeing how to parse their words.
Okay. Yeah, I was... I thought that he was talking about, you know, helping saving people from artificial intelligence, not to become part of it, to save themselves from it. I guess that's where my disconnect was, which makes sense now that you say it.
It's okay.
But there's another article on Drudge, and we're coming up against the break here. Bots are learning to chat in their own language, and it's a language not known to humans.
Yeah, we see some of that on our YouTube comments and on our emails. Just as an FYI.
Yeah. Well, that tends to happen. But they say that, you know, the artificial intelligence are communicating with each other. These systems, these machines, are communicating with each other in a language that humans. In a different language that's non-human, that's computer in nature, artificial computer language in nature. But this is definitely eye-opening when you see where we've come from and how little we have to go to get to that end goal of a beast system. The technology's there. Everything's there.
It is.
Except our willingness to accept it. We'll be right back with Anthony Patch for our third and final hour right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the Belly of the Beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.